Morning, you're listening to Cohen Meander. I'm Yason Ben David HaKohen. I've been pondering a rather interesting idea. Let me get on the open road here before I ponder too much. I don't know exactly what made this come to mind. Recent talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have focused so stridently on the second great commandment. Christ was asked at one particular point, probably by somebody who was trying to trick him, to say which of the commandments was the greatest. And Christ, who must have pondered this quite a bit because his answer seemed to be quite quick, which was the first great commandment is to love God with all of your heart, might, mind, and strength. Something along those lines. I hope I don't paraphrase too badly. Being in a vehicle and not having scriptures open to me exactly right at this moment. And then the second great commandment is like unto it. And this is the one that everybody concentrates on so hard, that's talked about so much. Until recently, which is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these, by the law and the prophets. If you were to get too focused on the minutia of things and not see the larger picture, these two commandments are supposed to be an expression of the larger picture. Only lately have I heard things coming back and saying, oh, you need to understand that the first great commandment is to love God. How best do you love God? Christ spoke that many times by keeping his commandments. So people make an attempt. Okay, the first thing is people have been almost ignoring the first commandment because that's just seemed a little too restricting for a lot of people. You can play quite hard with the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself. That tolerates a lot of shenanigans, and you can very readily just say, you know what? God's a big guy, he can take care of himself, and he's not really doing much for us. Rah, 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 rah. So why should you be giving your adoration to him? Why should you be keeping those kinds of commandments? Much better to love your neighbor. It's certainly true that it commands a lot of our time and effort in life and mortality. I have always ended up equating it to golden rule. Basically, to treat others as you have been treated. And that this could constitute the love that may have been referred to here. I don't know. A lot of people disagree very vehemently with me. Because I'm somewhat of a standoffish guy, and I think one of the greatest services I give to humanity is not really giving a lot of comments about people and their doings and things like that. And certainly not barging into the lives of my neighbors. My next door neighbor will make that mostly clear. If you wanted to say, so what kind of a neighbor is Nemro? She probably wouldn't have a lot of good things to say. And her greatest a compliment may be, but lately he's just kind of left me alone, and I'm very grateful for that. But the big thing that I've just been pondering for the last day or so, because people often try to figure out which of, for instance, the Ten Commandments, or the 603 or 613 Jewish commandments, are bundled under the two great ones. And I guess I use that word bundling interesting. It seems to be the crux of what I've been thinking about is what should be bundled. I wrote about it a little bit in the blog over at A Curious Instrument, and most people bundle the first four of the Ten Commandments, for instance, with loving God, and then the rest of the commandments with loving your neighbor. And I don't, stridently. And maybe I'll try to talk about why. I feel like that honoring your father and your mother is part of loving God. God is expressed as our parent, as our father. I think most people see that as some kind of weird affectation, that he's not really anything like our father, but he likes being treated that way because he wants that kind of intimacy on some level. I beg to disagree. God is definitely your father. He is the father of your spirit. That part of you, well, I have to talk about the intelligence. The intelligence is that part of you that animates you. It gives you life. You control your spirit and your body through the intelligence, which is the essence of you. Coexistent with God. Everybody tries to say, oh, God is, you know, God is beyond nature. God is beyond all these other things. You go, well, I don't have a problem with you saying that, except that we always tend to lump people, humanity, in with animals, or one of God's creations, and to be accurate, that's not true at all. We are bundled far more readily with God. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit as we allow our spirit to take better control of our mortal bodies. That's certainly the better thing. That we are more akin, like, to God than to anyone else. Now, our behavior may indicate something different. But that's why God can get angry at humanity and cause famines and things like that. These affect animals too, but not as readily as they affect people. Because it's always made very, very apparent that when God is punishing something, He's not punishing animals particularly at all, ever. Definitely punishing His children keeps them to, I don't know if it's to a high standard, but you can certainly look at it that way, in that punishments and blessings flow from the behavior of His children, especially their relationship to His commandments. For me, the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother, should always be bundled with God. Because that's essentially our relationship with Him, or should be. In my blog post, I certainly made what would be considered a very offensive, statement regarding how one should look at their parents with gratitude, even if you never really thought they were all that good a parent. In fact, it's become quite fashionable. My own children have engaged in it occasionally. And hopefully over time they're getting better at just not doing that. Which is to blame all of the troubles of the world, all the horrors of time and place, everything that's gone bad in a person's life can all be attributed to their parents. And I'm not saying that parents do a wonderful job. That's not my point, is to somehow diminish responsibility for bad actions and bad habits. Oh. But that doesn't take away your obligation to treat them as closest counterparts to God the Father. I don't want to be dismissive of bad parenting. But I also think people in this day and age have greatly expanded the definition of bad parenting so that, I don't know, not giving children a magnificent life, not sacrificing everything for their children's convenience and comfort is all lumped together in abusive and neglectful parenting. Ah, yes. The world is very happy to pin that on them and to expand it toward the destruction of the family unit. If we're not going to destroy the family unit, we're starting to see the consequences of such foolishness in that countries are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, our population is decreasing. As a population decreases, that is a reduction in governmental power and prestige in the world. Now that's not to say we should all change our minds and try to make our governments and our countries greater by having more children, but it's a truism that as we seek to destroy the family and place constructs over the family so that they can't act like families so much. Parents these days often kind of operate in fear of public education that spends an increasing amount of its time instead of educating children in monitoring family life and in something of a threat to all aspects of people's life, the whole idea of encouraging kind of a transgender lifestyle has to do with schools having superior authority over children and not just hiding the fact that their child is exploring transgender ideas, not just hiding that, but also telling parents they can't get involved, telling parents to stay away from school, where their child is being, it's called socially transitioned, from being one sex to another, and that parents should express no preference except to join the schools in accepting whatever the child chooses, which I think is incorrect. It's not the children choose it. It's that they don't want to have outsized extra family influence interfered with. The only good parent is a parent that lets extra family influences hold sway. Oh, they're such good parents. Look at them. Every time the school says something, the parents step back and say, oh, okay, I'll do whatever you tell me. It's out of a sense of fear. I know it. I felt it. I was grateful that we homeschooled our children. It didn't help very much. One of my children still embraced transgenderism, which is the most effective destroyer of family that I think has been conceived so far. Your parents, you should give quite a bit of respect and allegiance to your parents. Hopefully your parents steer you toward loving God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. That's the way it is supposed to be in life. Is your parents should be your example of God. Now I know my family, I'm sure my children will be very upset because they go, well then God is kind of demanding and jerky and wants certain things out of me. And I prefer a God that wants nothing but just wants to rain down blessings and smoochy kisses and things of that nature, which is hilarious because the world doesn't work like that. And obviously this is God's world. That's another thing about God you should do. God isn't an indulgent sort of God, but God is the definition of good. You know, when people say, be therefore perfect, even as God in your heaven is perfect, and you go, God is the definition of perfect. You don't get to create some kind of set of attributes, hang the title perfect on it, and then demand that God behave via those attributes. You've got it backwards. God defines perfection. God defines what is good. And that to a somewhat more mortal degree, you should view your parents in this way. Earth life is difficult enough. The greatest thing you can do in this world, in this life, and I know I'm going to take lots of grief for this as well, it's not to be a good environmentalist, although to try and be a good steward over the things that you are given is a blessed thing, is to marry. Marry is number one. We get all upset about, there's a Mrs. God. The Mormons say there's a Mrs. God up there. Excuse me, God is a couple. You cannot become a God without marriage and committed marriage. So marriage comes first. That's the most important thing. You're down here on this earth predominantly to get married and then to have children and to raise them up. The scriptures are replete, not with making those statements, because those statements in the times in the past were given. The blessings that come from, or it's called having a great posterity. If you read anything about Abraham, for instance, who everyone knows is the Lord's favorite, the great blessing that is promised to him is a posterity as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. These things don't come without marriage and family, childbearing. These are two things that are absolutely central to every part of everything. Your parents may not meet with your definition of good parenting. But can I tell you, I would rather people set aside their whole idea of what good parenting looks like in favor of bringing honor and honoring their parents. And that this is absolutely akin to loving God. Perhaps a step down from it is to say honor your father and your mother. It doesn't mean that you have to obey them, especially as you take upon yourself the mantle of parenthood. I often wait by the phone, and I remember in the past there was many stories and many preachings made about children not calling their parents, not being in touch with their parents, and not keeping that communication line open. The modern child is very self-centered, self-serving, and it's like, well, if you want to talk to me, you better find a way to call me. And I get to just ignore you. That's always been an interesting thing. I often feel very, very ghosted by my children, because every now and then I will try to drum up a conversation with them when I hear about them. And it saddens me. I imagine as much as it saddens God. And let me tell you, there's the story of the brother of Jared. He hadn't prayed to God in a very long time. And the first time he got back praying to God, what did he get? Chastised. For they even gave the amount of time, 3 hours. 3 hour chastisement for failing to pray to God. It's our responsibility as children to keep in touch with our parents and to make sure that they know that we love them, that we're grateful for them. My parents were, my parents have been more than generous to me over the years. And I'm very grateful. I hope I express it often enough to them. The house I live in, was basically gifted to be by my mom, my mother, and I'm grateful for that. The things I learned from them, and not just, you know, they sat me down and taught me stuff. It's me just watching them and how they behaved and what they did, both good and bad, informed me and helps me to be hopefully a better person. Over time, we should be getting better and better and better and better. And our parents are visceral examples of doing this. You can say, well, my parents were just a horrible example. And you go, oh, okay. It says, but I hope you don't say that to their faces, treat them badly. They're trying to make it through life just as much as you are. So yes, if there's bundling to be done of like the Ten Commandments toward the two great commandments, I for one choose to bundle honoring thy father and thy mother with the injunction to love God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. For your mortal parents, being somewhat of an intermediary, for giving you the example to marry and bear children and take on that responsibility when anything is said about exaltation and someday becoming as God is, I cannot but stress that your best schooling in becoming like God comes from marriage in this life and bearing and raising children and teaching them to do the same thing until all of us get to be better in practice toward becoming more like God the Father. I think I've probably said about enough about this. So, I don't know what I'm going to call this, bundling. Bundling, but it doesn't matter. Let me leave you with the blessing of my fathers, the priestly blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious towards you. May the Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.